pretty great at the end there. At least they've got it done, and now they get to go to Kansas City. Hey, and the Cowboys have a new coach. A lot to get to. Let's do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. It's his chance to participate in the show. So do him a solid. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel and jump in on the chat there, you can do that. Go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch, or if you're already on Twitch watching a gamer kick some ass, then just go to ESPN975. That's simple. It's a Monday. Boy, a lot happened over the weekend to get to, but I hope everybody had a great one. And now we're back to normal. We're back to a normal schedule for the most part. Everybody's back from vacation. It's time to rock and roll. It's happening, Hoffman.
Rock and roll. That's what's happening, Fred. Rock and roll.
Of course, we were always here. I don't want to...
Back from vacation.
Yeah, everybody right. Everybody else is back. Like
the others.
Like, Aaron was gone for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. And all those other shows were gone for mm-hmm. a little bit. But
we were here.
We never left.
Braving the Galleria traffic every day. I mean, just
yeah, during that time of year, that... You joke about that, but it's a pain in the ass. What's happening, man?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
The same.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I don't know what you did this weekend, but I saw history.
Really?
I saw the Texans avenge their defeat to the Oilers.
Oh my God! Can we? Could people please stop?
No,
with
you
that?
Can't. It was all over the news, and I said on Twitter that it was dumb, and people lost their minds. They're like, "You don't know what it's like to be a fan." Okay. Josh Allen, when the Bills beat the Texans or beat the Oilers, Josh Allen was -3 years old.
It's not even the same franchise, guys. Listen, I was an Oilers fan. I love the Oilers. And no, this doesn't make up for it in any way, shape, or form. And not only that, that team had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah. It really did. This one? No, not so much. But yeah, that didn't make up for anything. I wish people would stop that. It's just silly. I mean, it's the only thing that's the same is it's the two cities. That's it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Did you make up for Jim Everett's Gamblers losing to the whatever the LA team was, LA Express?
No. Oh,
okay.
No.
Just checking.
No. but what I did say was, like, why do you need to tie it to some old history? Like, this was a great win for the Texans.
Yeah, but in that perspective, it was the first time that they've come back from that far under Bill O'Brien. They were 0-22 before that. And appreciate what this team did and what Deshaun Watson did in the fourth quarter. Now, we're going to talk about those first three quarters because not so good. But, I mean, you should appreciate it for what it was. And it was a hell of a game. It has nothing to do with 1993. God, I was still young and handsome in 93.
Oh, yeah. And my guess is Bills fans aren't going to remember this loss forever and ever and ever. Unlike Oiler fans, who apparently just held on to it till they're dead.
Well, most of them are dead.
Yeah.
The people that were hardcore fans back then, they're probably dead. So, wherever you are in the afterlife, hey, you don't have to face that heartbreak anymore.
Yeah.
Because they made up for it.
Well, let's get into the game itself and talk about a couple. I guess we'll talk about some of the individual performances because obviously the guys that we were talking about the most coming into this game were J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. And they both had massive moments in this game. Although I don't know if either played a great game. because, I mean, J.J. Watt was on the sideline for a lot in the first half. Yeah. And after they said they were, like, going to cut him loose and he was going to just be this, I assumed he was just going to be out there every down. And basically, he was like a third down guy for the first part of the game. And then, I mean, now, mind you, especially late in the game, actually late in the first half, he started to play more and more and then had a big sack in the third quarter where the Bills would have likely taken a three-score lead.
Yeah.
And instead,
an insurmountable lead.
Yes. Let's face it. That would have been insurmountable. And instead, he holds them to a field goal. It's 16-0. And that sack was as big of a play as it was. I still think it was about the fourth biggest play in that game.
Probably so.
Because I think the other plays that happened in the course of that game that were bigger were one, I'll go in order. I'll say four was that sack by JJ that had made him kick a field goal instead of going for a touchdown.
Okay.
Three was it wasn't really a play because it was a penalty, but it was a massive penalty. The blindside block call.
Yeah, definitely.
Which,
that was pretty iffy to me.
It's not iffy. It's by the rule that they've put out there, it's the right call. It got called in the Saints game as well. It's a ridiculous rule. What they tried to do was, because they were trying to get rid of that peel back block, which is like a seriously dangerous block. And now you've got it where just because a tackler falls well behind a play, like now all of a sudden you're not allowed to touch him anymore. I mean, it was literally just hand, like patty cake. And that's a 15-yard penalty.
You know what? I hate that they've taken that away because when I was playing back before we cared about hurting people, that was my favorite thing to do because we had these guys who would take off on 80-yard touchdown runs, and I'd be following them, and then you just turn around and nail somebody.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to get rid of.
It's chicken bleep, but it was fun back in the day.
But that was a huge call on it.
Took him out of a chance to win the game.
Agreed. And the play that I think really swung all momentum and totally changed the game and got the Texans back into it was Josh Allen being stripped at about midfield when he's taken off for another run.
Yeah.
They knocked that ball out, and the energy in that building went from about to raging. And I've been to a lot of Texans games, and obviously the number one was the Deshaun play at the end where he should have been sacked for the eighth time, and miraculously he pinballs out of it and finds a guy.
Well, I got one other play that you left out that I think belongs on that list, but go ahead and finish what you were saying about the crowd.
The crowd was – I've been to a lot of Texans games, and we've talked about this before. The Texans' home field advantage is average at best.
I'm not even going to say it's average. It's below average.
The crowd on Saturday was about as good as the Texans could have asked for. And the crowd from halfway through the third quarter on was about as good as you could have asked for. They were loud. I was already ready to come in here today and just go nuclear on Texans fans because for the first half, Bills Mafia was louder than the Texans.
Oh, yeah,
fans.
You could hear it on the TV.
Yeah, every time Williams caught a ball, Duke.
Yep.
I mean, and Texans fans were sitting on their hands. And mind you, there was a little bit of shell shock because that first drive for the Bills, they just, no lube, go right at them. And it looks like, oh, my God, what is going on here? And it really took that big play at midfield to really swing the momentum and get the Texans fans involved. What's the play that I forgot?
The 3rd and 18 to Duke Johnson.
That was a big play too.
And that was just, it's one of those where as soon as Watson throws it to him, it's like.
I only had four spots on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay, well, you know what?
I should have done a top five.
You should have done a top five.
My bad.
Because that play belongs in there. And it got forgotten about because of the one at the end. But that was amazing, and that was individual effort too. That was just, and Johnson's really good when he gets a ball like that at getting more yardage than you expect. And as soon as he got it, I'm looking at it going, it's going to be close. He's got a shot at getting this thing. And he does, and suddenly you're like, okay. And because you don't want to give him the ball back the way your defense was playing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. The Somebody asked, what about the second half touchback touchdown? I've heard both sides. That's the rule TV. He gave up common sense.
Well, there is the difference. I mean, it's either common sense or it's not. Common sense says that it was a touchback.
Yeah.
They wanted to be sticklers for the rules.
Yeah. But why do you suddenly make, because that's been going on all year.
That's what I'm saying.
And why do you suddenly make that call there?
But what happened? Is it that big of a deal to drop to a knee? Like, are returners so lazy now they can't just drop that knee down and then throw the ball to the ref?
They should. I mean, it's real simple.
It would really save any possibility of that ever happening. So maybe let's just do that instead of standing there and then like flip in the referee acts like it's a hot potato. Like, no, not me, bro. And then when you heard the PA announcer go, touchdown Bills, I was like, oh, no way.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was another play that would have been, the game would have been over.
I'm kind of curious, though. Who are those guys that came out in like the black shirts to tell them, hey, dude, that was stupid?
I don't know.
Who are those guys? Yeah, I don't know either, but they came out there and basically said, come on, man, you don't make that.
They had officiating hats on.
Yeah.
I just don't know what their title would be.
That was the wise guys.
Grand Wizard of officiating?
Yeah. That was the wise guys. We decide what's a touchdown, what's not. But listen, we've talked about some good things for the Texans. Both these teams basically tried to give this game away. We'll get to that
There's a lot to not like about this game. One thing I didn't like was the fact that I had to write my column like four times.
I would imagine.
It was so funny because when it's 16 to nothing, it's like, okay, everybody has to go column. And then when they come back and take the lead, it's like, okay, big win. Then when it goes to overtime, I have to write the column that says, well, they're the team that is always close but never good enough, right?
Yeah.
And, so I had them all written. And the one I liked best, fortunately, was them winning. So I got my best column, but it was... It kind of sucked because I had everything ready to go, and just to peel it back a little, Cody and Jermaine and myself, we kind of communicate during the game about who's going to do what. We decided that pretty early that Cody was going to do JJ no matter what happened. And so I get him photos off because we have a Getty image thing. I send him photos. We get it all set up. So basically, as soon as the game's over, you got three stories on the game. And when it was 16 to nothing late in the third quarter, the wife had walked down by Nancy's Hustle and say, hey, there's nobody there. They just opened one. I'll get us a couple seats at the bar. As soon as the game ends, you can come join me. We'll have a nice dinner. I'm like, yeah, this thing looks over. And not only was it not over, but there was overtime. And so by the time I got down there, the place was packed. And fortunately, they put us on the list, so we were able to get a table. So thank you, Nancy's Hustle, for that. But it totally changed the afternoon because I had pretty much decided what I was going to write, and then they come back. And because they'd never done that under Bill O'Brien, so why would you expect it? And, there's a lot to talk to here on the talk about on the negative side as well. And we can look a little bit ahead to the next game and talk about some of the other games. We'll get to all that today. Don't worry. Right now, I'm going to tell you about a really cool website. And it's called MyBadExperience.com. And if you've lost time, money, or your sanity while working with a business that gave you a bad experience, just visit MyBadExperience.com. And basically, this is where it's your duty to share the ugly truth about bad businesses. You can't replace your time, but for $4.99, you can tell all and maybe even reach a resolution with the business to compensate for your loss of hard-earned money. Just go to visit mybadexperience.com today and warn others about bad businesses before it's too late. Maybe you had a bad experience with a contractor and they didn't do the job they were supposed to do. Well, guess what? You go on mybadexperience.com, you let those people know, so that people won't use them, and they'll see it, and maybe they will resolve it for you. This is a real site. There's no fake stars or ratings, and you just want to warn others about bad experiences before it's too late. Make businesses accountable. MyBadExperience.com. What you create, you need to know your place, 'cause it's about to get heavy.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple things to help set up the segment. First off, apparently those were alternate refs. So if something happens to one of the crew, they replace them. Maybe they should have replaced that guy who made that call.
Yeah.
And then I know you hate O'Brien, but they play hard for that guy. Cowboys fans would do backflips to have the appearances the Texans have had. If Garrett had O'Brien's record, he'd still be there. Actually, they have pretty close to the same record. Just Garrett had 10 years of it. But, you know, if you're happy with that, sure. And that's something we'll get to. And then Space Ghost on the Twitch channel said, how about O'Brien has a trash can for a brain? Can you get to that next segment? I'm not going to go that far, but I do have some issues, especially with
funny all the things you hear, like the different takes on it. Like Bill O'Brien's a dummy. They won in spite of Bill O'Brien. And then on the other hand, Bill O'Brien, the Cowboys fans wish they had him. It's funny.
You can have him.
Funny how that works.
You got Mike McCarthy now, who actually has won a Super Bowl. So
yeah, I don't know. He's gonna go.
Yeah, we'll find out. But my issue really was with, and we talked about this all week, the kind of game plan that they needed to come in with. And I even said flat out a couple times, Deshaun Watson has to be used in the run game and not just because he's dropping back to pass. And early in the game, and I know some of it was the Bills' defense was really good, but how often do we see this where they come out in five wide and Watson drops back to pass, holds on to the ball, gets sacked, and the drive gets destroyed? And the entire first half, that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating to watch because at some point, I wanted to see some rollouts. I wanted to see some bootlegs. I wanted to see some design runs for Watson. I wanted to see him throw the ball to the tight end. I wanted to see him throw it to the running backs out of the backfield. And I said that all week. That was what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted them to go in with. And they went in with just the exact opposite. And they finally tear up the play. But I'll give them credit. They finally did start doing some of those things. And guess what? They worked. Yeah. Not everything worked. But, you know, they worked. And the one thing is, and Steven asked on Twitter, was it you consider it a choke or a great comeback? He's in the latter camp as the Bills had ample opportunities to put the game away. They did, but I also want to give the Texans a little bit of credit here because the Bills never got far enough away from them. And once it became a one-score game, they were right back in it. And that's, you know, that I give credit to the Texans for. Yeah, the Bills had their chances. You mentioned the penalty. I mean, they could have won the game right there. They were almost in field goal range. I think they were in field goal range, actually.
They were.
And so, yeah, there were some things that they did. The Texans did some things as well. And I just don't like the way they came out. It was the Bills came out the exact opposite, man. They were going for it right off the bat with the quarterback sweep, which got all the yards. And then the pass play to Allen, which, boy, Whitney Merciless got his pants pulled down on that.
Yeah, but you know what? There were some plays late in the game where had the Bills been more conservative, they would have been better off. And if you remember, this was probably, I'm going to go with, I don't know exactly. I mean, they may have gotten the ball back with like 3 minutes left in the game. And they were now down three. It was when the Texans went up, when it was 19-16. And the Bills actually put together a really nice drive. And they got down to the 25-yard line, the Houston 25. And then they lost yardage right before the two-minute warning. So now it's like third and 13 at the 28. And I looked at my buddy that I was there with, and I said, it's under 2 minutes now. I said, they're going to run right here and kick the field goal. Instead,
no, it was second and 13 because they got the grounding penalty.
No, that was
third, on third down.
Third down, third and 13. They get to second and 13.
Yeah, yeah.
Second and 10.
Yeah.
They lost yards with Gore. Third and 13. Basically, they get sacked, but it ends up being an intentional grounding penalty.
Same difference.
Yeah. So now it's fourth and 27 at the 42, which is outside of Hauschka's field goal range now. Although, I mean, and that's where I said, if they just run the ball there, nothing like that can happen. But because they tried to get big balls, it ended up costing them. And at the time, it seemed like they might not get the ball back, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, fourth down and 27, they go for it. And then he gets sacked again. And
why do that there? I mean, I at that point, I punt the ball.
I would too. But they did a good job. The Texans had held all their timeouts, so they managed that well, and they got out of there. But that's the play where they went for it on fourth and one, which to me is still inexplicable. So
I don't mind going for it there. What I do mind is the play call where you're going right into the strength of their defense with a quarterback sneak that you haven't run all year.
Fred, if they kick the field goal there with a minute 16 left, you kick that field goal, now the Bills have to score a touchdown to beat you. The Bills scored one touchdown that day, and it wasn't the quarterback who did it. It was a freaking wide receiver. The Bills were not going down and scoring a touchdown.
I'm not going to say that because I've seen this defense all year give up touchdowns in those situations for, well, really the last 3 years. I'm okay with get 1 yard, win the game.
I hate it.
I'm not okay with is the play call. And as soon as they lined up and it was obvious they were going to sneak it, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? At that point, I thought maybe they're going to draw them off and call a timeout, but there's no way they're going to run.
That's what I assumed. I didn't think they were going to run a play, period. How many times had they lined up under center all day?
Well, and that's the thing. How many quarterback sneaks have they run all year? I don't even remember one. And I'm sure it's happened, but that far? You don't run it from that far.
No.
I would have had no problem if he lined up in shotgun and ran off tackle and follows Laremy Tunsil, and if you're big guy can't block for you and you don't get it, then okay. But I mean, that's your play call if you're going to go for it on fourth and one. Yeah. And at some point, maybe Watson needs to recognize that you got timeouts. Say, you know what, this isn't going to work. Let's call a timeout and come up with something else.
But Watson always thinks he's that dude it's his moment.
And that's not always a good thing because in that situation, I mean, that play had almost 0% chance of success based on the Bills defense and the fact that it was obvious what they were going to do.
Well, yeah, like I said, I don't think they lined up under center all day, and then they did that. I was like, I assume they're either going to try a stupid quarterback sneak or they're just trying to draw them off sides. And I said, if they're smart, they're just trying to draw them off sides and they'll kick. They didn't.
But, yeah, I have no real problem with deciding to go for it in that situation, but not like that. I mean, that's the real problem I have. And,
felt like the way the game was going, I mean, like I said, the Bills didn't score a touchdown since the first drive of the game. It was unlikely that they were going to go the full field and beat you with a touchdown.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't trust that. I don't trust that secondary those were your options: kick the field goal or go for it. I mean, I've heard a couple of people today say, "Oh, they should have punted." Well, you probably net 11 yards if
you're at
punt.
The 30.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
No, I mean, you either go for it or you kick the field. I mean, and if you can't kick a field goal from the 30. Then you need a new kicker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're like, I just don't. If that decision couldn't have been made because they didn't trust Fairbairn from there. It had to be.
Yeah, by the way, Fairbairn hasn't missed a field goal in a while.
Good.
He hasn't missed a field goal since, Colts?
Since he missed like all of them in the early half of the season.
Well, yeah, but I mean, over the second half, he's been pretty good.
Better.
And so you
assume they have faith in him. So the decision wasn't like, oh, we don't trust our kicker here. The decision was, we want to get this first down and in the game now.
Yeah, and again, I'm okay with that, but not when they came out in that alignment. You have to cut it off right there because there's no way that play is going to work, and you should be able to recognize that. And O'Brien has to recognize that, and Watson has to recognize that.
Well, on the other side, I want to talk about Watson's day and what our overall grade is for Deshaun, because someone asked me grade Deshaun's game, and I had the hardest time doing it, so I'm curious to see what you think. I got to tell you about Pro Dunk Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com, that's where you go to get the best basketball goals in the whole wide world. I know because there's one out in my freaking driveway, and I can't keep my kids off of it. So they're having a great time. It means they're not inside playing video games all the time, and this goal is going to last forever. Thickest steel of any goal on the market, 75% thicker than you're getting in the big box stores. A tempered glass backboard, so strong they guarantee if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. And a rust armor finish, it's 30 years maintenance free, perfect for the weather down here. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version now, the Bear. So if you got a picky HOA, they got you covered. and it's adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet. My 7-year-old can adjust it down after my 12-year-old's been outside playing on it. So even he can make goals, and that's what's fun, is making baskets. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all, produnkhoops.com, produnkhoops.com, or give them a call, 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
I get those goosebumps every time, yeah, 713.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And before we get to the Watson grade thing, I did want to point out one thing about J.J. that I found very interesting. Usually, well, I always look at the transcripts from the questions they asked. And apparently one of the things he talked about was until he was pretty tentative until that arm got hit. And he made a play where he was worried that as soon as he hit the guy and the arm got hit, that it was going to be a problem. And he kind of got up and looked at the doctor and it was fine. And I think from there he realized, okay, I can play. And I know you've been through this before with your knee and everything else. At some point, no matter how talented you are or how good you are, if you're coming off an injury, until somebody hits that thing,
yeah,
you know, you're not going to feel right. And we see it all the time. And you see it with pitchers until if they're coming off surgery, until they can really cut loose for the first time and say, oh, okay, my arm's not going to fall off. So I think that was a big part of why he played more in the second half and better in the second half. So I just wanted to throw that in there. We can get to Watson now.
Well, someone asked me, what's the grade that you give Watson for the day? And it's a really, really difficult question to answer. And when you look at his final stats, he was 20 of 25, 247 yards. Now, he was also sacked 7 times for 28 yards. Could have been sacked an 8th time. Would have been a game, probably basically a game ender, damn near.
Yeah, if he doesn't escape that, they probably lose the game.
Yeah. And he didn't do damn near anything in the first half. I mean, he was
like 6 of 8 for some ridiculous
40 yards. Yeah, 40 or yards.
I mean, yeah.
He did almost nothing, and at halftime Josh Allen was outplaying him
significantly.
Yeah. And Josh Allen is another one who's tough to grade because he had a sort of a crappy good game at the same time, which is what I said, had the game ended, you know, had he taken that sack on the Tywan Jones play, if he takes that sack and the Bills go kick a field goal and the Texans lose in overtime, what grade would you give Deshaun then? And the letter I came up with is a D.
Yeah.
Would that be fair?
I think that would be fair.
So because he escapes that sack, it hits Tywan Jones, did he have a pass reception this year before that?
I think he did last week because he played a lot last
week.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, man, he's hardly been on the field.
Which he looked good last week playing in that against the Titans when, you know, they had nothing to play for. Which kind of made me think, wow, why haven't they used this guy a little bit this year?
Yeah, Tywan Jones, season stats.
All from last week.
This is big. 9 rushing attempts for 40 yards and 1 reception for 9 yards.
See, you answered your question. He had 1 reception.
That was, it's almost like are you? It's surprising that he was even on the field, right? In a moment like that?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, and again, reading the transcripts, they had 2 or 3 packages for him where they were going to run a play to him, and that happened to be one of them. So,
very odd either way. But hey,
yeah,
it works out.
Brian's a genius.
So because Deshaun gets away from that sack, which the more I watch it, and at the time, the play was coming towards me. I sat in the end zone.
Yeah.
So the play was coming towards me. So I couldn't see how hard the hit was. And I just assumed that the Bills must have missed him. But they didn't.
No.
When you watch it on television, you see, I mean, it was like a train wreck. And somehow he came stumbling and spinning out of there. And of all the hits that he took on Saturday, that's the one that most likely should have knocked him down. So he makes that play, which is a miracle play, and they win the game. His grade was going to be a D.
Yeah.
Now you feel like a play that if the play gets blown up like that 9 more times, how many of those 10 times does he escape that?
Two?
Okay.
Yeah.
So a 30%er comes through. I mean, you obviously can't give him an A, but he won the game. So the number what I came up with is I said C+. I'll go from D to a C+.
I'll go from D to C, and I'll tell you why.
Because I went from D to C on the play and C+ because they kicked the field goal and won.
Which, by the way, if you watch a replay of that field goal, the Bills were damn close to blocking that.
Well, you also, from what I heard, and I didn't see it at the time, but everyone was texting me that it should have been delay of game. And I was like, well, that doesn't matter. I mean, what are they going to do back up? They probably would have, it would have helped them to back up 5 yards.
Yeah. Now, I think the delay of game that they probably missed was on the Duke Johnson catch for 18 yards.
Oh, okay.
Then it would look like it was down to 0. But, and were you okay with them going for the field goal right then and there?
Yes. I was less okay with them, like, keeping the offense out there like they were about to run a play. I said, what are you doing? Just get this game over with right now. But I know, and it happened on fourth down early in the game. The Texans didn't get it, and they were short, and they were going to have to punt. And Watson was, like, telling Bill O'Brien, I got this. And I was like, are you kidding me? You're going to let him talk? And eventually O'Brien pulled them off, and they punted, which was the right call. And then this time, he's, like, out there, like, he's going to just override Bill and say, hey, we're running a play. Let's go. And he was, like, hurrying to the line.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, somebody's got to call a time. And finally, O'Brien comes running down, calling a timeout. And then they were still standing on the field like they were thinking about going for it. So, yeah, I think kicking the ball was absolutely the right move.
Boy, there's so much that can go wrong. Even if you just run the ball up the gut and it gets knocked out, what are you doing? How much yardage are you going to gain at that point?
And like, what running back do you trust that much that there's no way he's going to fumble the ball? Mm-hmm. You don't.
Yeah, and you don't want Watson running the ball because he can fumble.
Right. So, yeah, kicking the ball was the right move, obviously. It was a weird game because it felt like, and you know what? It's funny because someone tweeted us after the game and said, the whole city's laughing at you guys. You're wrong again. Friendly reminder, you were wrong again about the Texans. And I was like, wait, Fred picked the Texans to win. He picked them to cover. And I said,
that was one of two guys that I damn near just deleted my Twitter Saturday. I got so pissed off because obviously the clown has never listened to 1 second of the show. And I was the only one Friday when we did our picks with RJ and the guys.
You were the one who picked
them
to cover.
Texans -2.5. And so, yeah. So laugh at me all you want, dickweed. And then the other thing, I was getting it both ways. It's like early in the game, it's like, oh, you were so wrong about the Texans being able to beat the Bills. And then, so I just kind of friendly reminded people, hey, don't tweet early in the game because you're going to look dumb. And, you know, so I basically just tweeted out, hey, number one, you know, don't make bleep up, okay?
Yeah.
That's just totally incorrect. You're making stuff up. You look stupid. Don't tweet early in games about with hot takes because guess what? You look stupid. And you should just thank me for the two hockey plays I gave you Saturday night and shut up. And then, which, by the way, 2-0. And then somebody starts bitching at me for, oh, you should be tweeting about the Texans. And I'm like, hey, Chief. The 3 stories we posted on the game aren't enough, including the one that I spent 3 hours crafting. That's not enough for you? Oh, my God. And I at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm done with Twitter forever. And then I had a few drinks and chilled, and I was fine.
Well, I said, Fred literally picked the Texans to cover. And my exact words were, to me, it's a coin flip game. I have no idea how it's going to end up. I think these teams are the exact same. It's a mirror image of each other. And, yeah, it went to overtime. It was exactly what I said it was going to be.
Yeah, you said it was going to be a field goal game. You thought the Bills would win it. Which I don't fault you because they very easily could have.
I thought the Bills would cover 3. And they did. Well, they pushed. I'll take that. The game was about exactly what I expected. I said, I don't know who's going to win this game. I think it comes down to who makes bigger plays, and obviously the Texans made the bigger plays in that thing. So, but yeah, we weren't saying this was the week the Texans were going to meet their demise, and no one said that on the show.
It's just dumb.
I don't think anybody said that on any shows on our station. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. But that's okay. It's Twitter. You just make bleep up. And so, yeah, after all that, I'm kind of like, you know what? Why am I even on Twitter listening to some of these a-holes?
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
My guess was closer than one of the guys on the pregame show who called 35-10 Texans.
Which pregame show?
Not ours.
Oh, okay. over across the dial. Shocker. Yeah, but that's okay. It's Texan fan is, they're not as bad as Astro fan, but I do think they're dumber in general with some of their takes. And of course, 281, that last pick was a sweat, Fred, LOL. Yeah, complain about a win because it was a sweat.
Welcome to gambling.
You know what? Guess what? You know, just cash your damn ticket and shut up. My goodness. What is wrong with people? Just for that, I'm not giving you a pick tonight.
Oh,
I don't have one anyway.
Well, I want to talk about Josh Allen on the other side and see what you thought of his game.
Yeah, but in general, just to finish off the Watson thing, 47.3 QBR is below average. So if you give him...
Well below average.
Yeah, and so now, I don't think they gave him enough credit for the 14 carries for 55 yards, including that touchdown run, which was terrific, and the two-point conversion, where, by the way, Duke Johnson essentially blocked two guys to get him in there.
Yeah.
Those were really important plays. So, yeah, I think a C is fair. I think it was an average performance. It was really below average early. And for a stretch, it was above average. But, you know, and we'll talk about this a lot more this week. But he's going to have to play like he did in the fourth quarter for the entire game for them to have any chance of staying close to Kansas City. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Texter said the Texans should have gone for the TD in overtime. To be fair, I had the over 43. I had the under and was sweating the hell out of it. So you wanted to get it to Josh Allen. And guys asking about the other games, I promise you we'll get to it at 5 o'clock. We'll get to the other games and we'll talk about all of them. Plenty of time. But Josh Allen, I think I'm going to give the same grade. I think he, especially running the ball, he was a weapon there. And boy, how you're not ready for that when we talked about that's the main thing you're going to have to stop is Josh Allen running the ball. And the first chance he gets, he goes for 42 yards.
Yeah.
And I thought he made some really nice passes that because there was some good coverage at times, and there was, it's typical with the Texans, there was also some bad coverage. There was a lot of bad coverage. But there were some times when there were guys right on his receivers, and he put the ball in the only place they could get it. I do think there was also some panic, especially when he's trying to lateral. I don't know what the hell that was. He was lucky that wasn't a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, I thought he had done just about enough, and then you get that penalty. And I also thought taking the sack and maybe that's a play call thing that they shouldn't have done. Maybe you're right. Maybe they should have
run the ball and kicked the field goal.
Yeah, and now at that point, the Texans would have still had plenty of time to go win it in regulation. But yeah, I mean, I think that wasn't a great decision. And then, of course, taking the sack after that, again, maybe that's more coaching than him. But I thought he was a better player in the first half. I think Watson was a better player in the second half. They both kind of came out the same to me.
Josh Allen shows some things. I'll be honest. I think Josh Allen, maybe definitely besides Patrick Mahomes, but I don't know if there's anybody else in the league whose arm is as strong as Josh Allen's. Josh Allen makes throws across his body that any other quarterback would be saying, why would you throw that? Because it would come out looking like a dying duck, and he zips it out of it. I mean, his arm, as Lance would say, or the NFL scouts would say, his arm talent is elite. He's a great athlete, great runner, big balls. He is still really inaccurate. And there was a play where it was like, I mean, they needed probably, I don't know, they probably need, it was, I think it was like second and 10, and I said, third and 10, I said, if they get 5 yards, they can kick a field goal. And he got Cole Beasley out in the flat, and it would have been maybe 6 yards, and he threw it at his feet.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, those are the play, and nobody's around Cole. I mean, it was just, he just buried the throw. That's the kind of stuff, like, until he gets better about stuff like that, he's very limited. But man, does he have some legit natural gifts. He's just not a very good decision maker, and he's still not very accurate.
But he can be, though. I mean, some of those passes were...
Well, yeah, but it comes in spurts.
Right, and I think that's something that, you know, I think he'll develop into a better player. He's just got the question is, and there's no way of knowing this, is how much he processes, how smart he is, how many things he learns from. But I also think if you get a couple better weapons for him, like they need a receiver that's taller than 5'7".
Yeah.
And you get somebody who's big who can make catches for him. And you know, maybe Duke's that guy. I don't know. But
well, I mean, he's a tight end. He's a tight end that they were basically trying to play like he was their red zone wide receiver because that's all they've got.
But I think you get some more weapons around him, and he's got to improve, obviously. But I think you're right about the talent. It's amazing. The physical skills he has, but that doesn't always translate into great quarterbacking. And I think he played well enough to win the game Sunday for the most part. You needed to convert one of those into a touchdown. And, you know,
But you're right. They're limited on weapons around him. They don't have that. They don't have a guy to look for in the red zone. And, in fact, they don't have a lot of guys, period, a lot of skill position guys. The fact that they, in a key moment, sent freaking Patrick DeMarco, who's like a special teams fullback.
Oh, my goodness. Like, what was that?
What an odd play call. And then to throw it to him was even odder.
At, 40 yards downfield?
Yeah. Like, that's who you're sending out on a deep route? So, again, there's some things that are just personnel-driven for the Bills. They are not as talented a team. But, and, you know, while I didn't think that McDermott coached a particularly good game, the game was what the Bills needed it to be to win.
Oh, yeah. They uglied it up, just like we talked about all week.
They needed it to be an ugly game, and that's what they got. They just didn't get the coin flip to fall their way.
713-780-ESPN is your number. All right, we come back. We'll get to the other games for those of you who've been patiently waiting to hear about the Titans and the Vikings and the Seahawks. Boy, I think you tweeted this out. The Seahawks and the Packers might be the two most fraudulent teams in the NFC, and one of them's
going to the NFC Championship.
One of them's playing for a shot at the Super Bowl. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.